Liars.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. And we have Sebastian on the line, but obviously his audio is not turned on. Oh, he's muted. Oh, my days. If I had a dollar... Oh, there we go. Wonderful.
No, I was ramming that button. Have you ever had that when you're like clicking a button, but it won't be clicked for some reason?
Oh, where the machine is having a bit of a slow day. And
you my just... lying fingers don't know how to click a mouse properly.
Yeah,
you've shaven the beard. I see.
Well, I trimmed it back. Let me turn you up a bit so we're not losing sight of you. We do have a couple of people on the line to join in just a second.
Ooh, okay.
The Imagine Plus Nation Film Festival. They were joining us in just a few moments. But yes, I just want to draw, you know, our listeners can't see me, but normally I have somewhat of a stubble. Anyone who does shaving will know a 3 is the number I use. I don't know what it means, but that's the number I use. And I was like, my hair on the top of my head is growing out, and I look lopsided. So I was feeling like I was channeling a wildebeest in my appearance. And therefore, but you're saying what I need is a waistcoat on top of my t-shirt, and I'm nailing the 90s pop look.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You've got that sort of like season one of Buffy kind of background character.
Oh, yeah. Hairdo. I can wait tables. Yeah, it's definitely, it's a bold look. All right. Well, we have an awful lot on our plate for today's show, including later on, we'll be diving into a statement by the Central Okanagan Public Schools following an incident where a grumpy old man made a 9-year-old girl cry. So we'll dive into that in just a bit later on. But before then, I'm going to welcome Alison Reed and Charlie Boudreau into the call. So let me just do that now. So whilst they join, we're excited to have this conversation unfold. So I want to welcome Charlie, who is the executive director for the... I've only seen it written down. I've never seen anyone say it. I want to say Imagination, but it's written Imagine Plus Nation, and I didn't think that struck me as the right way of going about it.
You had it right the first time.
Ah, nailed it.
We took creative agency to put the plus.
Oh, is the T? I like it.
Yes.
And then we are also joined by, honestly, I was blown away. It was a relatively short, Escape to Eternity. But Alison Reed, the director of Escape to Eternity, thank you for also joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Now, for our listeners, and I'm not sure if Sebastian read the emails, so maybe for Sebastian's benefit as well, we are excited to talk about this short film festival, which I believe anyone can view from anywhere across Canada. So this is an excellent resource. Do you want to take a few moments, Charlie, to let our listeners across the country and across the GTA know what the Imagination Festival is, and specifically this short film festival?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. Thank you for having us, the festival, to chat with you. And hello, Alison. Last time I saw you, it was in Berlin at a film festival.
Oh, my gosh. You're going back. I haven't been in been there in quite a while now.
Been a bit. Yes, the film festival. It's in its fourth season. It's in fourth edition. We started it. A quick anecdote for you. We started it at in 2020 after our regular festival, which is Imagination, Montreal's LGBT2S queer festival. COVID had just started. We were talking about lockdown, so we said, God, we have all these short films. Let's put programs together so that people will have something to do. They announced the lockdown like just after that. Everybody was home for Christmas, so we created this. It was a month long at that point. We put together, I think it was an insane job. I think it was like 120 short films for people to be able to watch. So there was great response, and there was also a lot of it. What I love about this festival, it really showcases first-time filmmakers for the most part. So it became a thought to continue, became something to continue. So the focus of this is, you said it earlier, is to make it accessible throughout Canada. All of our regular Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal, all of our festivals are located to our province, geolocated to our provinces, but this one is pan-Canadian. It allows for everyone to see. We made it free to make sure that everyone could easily access everything, the films. And it's also a moment where we have activities with filmmakers. We have panels, we have conversations. And what we do at Imagination is we think and we talk about what is new queer storytelling, what are contemporary ways of speaking of being queer, the queer experience, and what in particular is Canadian queer storytelling. And we have a lot of projects, including this one, that are really focused on, we're Montreal-based, but we really focus on across the country. We're trying to have films made. We're trying to get regional voices heard, which we don't hear about very often. Get ourselves out of the cities and go into regions. Francophone voices, there are very few Francophone films made outside of Quebec. Of course, Indigenous films, POC films, etc. So that's in a long nutshell. That's the essence of this festival.
Well, I'm very excited because, you know, we are in the throes of Pride season at the moment, and I think very often, you know, the smaller towns and communities tend to get overlooked, but also. You know, I'm just not a big fan of large crowds of people these days. You know, maybe it's my post-pandemic anxiety here being like, maybe I don't want to be around a million of my closest friends on Yonge Street. That doesn't sound overly appealing. But, you know, having five or six people over, a couple of bottles of, you know, wine, and a viewing party for these shorts, you know, that would be a great way of consuming queer culture in a variety, and really sort of, you know, often with queer movies, you're diving in for a couple of hours, but this really would offer you the breadth and depth of what's on offer. You know, is that a good idea for our listeners out there to try and have small viewing parties at home?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I never kind of thought of it that way. That's a brilliant way to do it. There's like, what's great about it too is that instead of being fancy and curating it and saying one program starts at 6 tonight and there's a we're launching everything. So basically, the whole shebang is available for 4 days of viewing, all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that is a really great idea that you have there. Get together. Put it on your TV. Don't look at it on a computer. People make film. Allison, you don't make films to be watched on a phone, do you?
Exactly.
You make it to be seen as big as possible. So hopefully people still have big TVs. Yes. Plug it into your TV and watch it. And it's a great way to chat. And short films are wonderful for that too, because they are short. You can pause it. You can discuss or just watch the whole thing. There's so many ways to do this. And we have five themes for five whatever people are in the mood to watch. Well, and lots of Canadian work. Entre autres, Allison's wonderful, wonderful film. Love your film, Allison.
Oh, thank you so much.
Before we dive into the different themes, you mentioned earlier about sort of the cutting edge of filmmaking. And actually, I think, Alison, this is a great segue into your film, because I was taken aback. You know, it was a short film, but I think it mentioned that it used an AR wall, an augmented reality wall. I mean, it was quite stunning what you were able to visually achieve. Are you able to tell us a little bit about how you created that? And then next, I want to pivot to kind of keep the conversation with you for a moment about how you've sort of used a character in Greek mythology, which has been a sort of focal point of women's sexuality for a long, long time. Why don't you kick it off about the technology used to create the show, the film?
Sure. Well, yes, you're exactly right. This short of mine, Escape to Eternity, was made using virtual production technology, which is relatively new technology. It was pioneered by the series called The Mandalorian. And just to describe it, it's like green screen on steroids. So what it is a way that you can shoot a film so that instead of having your actors against a green screen where you put in the background in post, you're now able to have them have the background there. And it uses gaming technology. So the camera and the wall are linked. So when you move the camera, the background moves in a way that's in sync with the camera. And it just opens up a whole new world of possibilities. And not many people not many directors or crew members have had the opportunity to shoot on the wall. So this was actually made through a Directors Guild of Canada initiative, where myself and seven other directors got to write a 1 minute short film. Mine ended up being 4 minutes to shoot on a specific environment that a specific digital environment that they created. So I chose the medieval castle and wrote a script to suit that environment. So it was an initiative to give us experience shooting on the wall, which is, you know, quite different. And it was an incredible opportunity. And being ambitious people, all of us were given, each director was given 2 hours to shoot on the wall, very strict 2 hours. I think it's an expensive, proposition to shoot on the wall. I think it's like something like $40,000 a day. So we were given a strict 2 hours, and whatever we came out with in that 2 hours was what we had. So we all managed to come out with short films. And so that's sort of the history behind it.
Now, in terms of the subject matter, you said it's 4 minutes. It's very digestible for anyone. I think that one actually may lend itself to watching on the phone on your morning commute if you aren't able to sit down and watch it. But I'm kind of curious as to how you were what inspired the script that you put together.
Well, like I said, we were given specific backgrounds or specific environments to write for. So I chose this medieval castle set and, you know, tried to think of something that I want a story that I would want to see, which is where we all come from, which is, of course, feisty lesbian women. Of course. What else is there? As I was looking through sort of characters in Greek mythology, you know, I came across Circe and decided that she was perfect. She would be a perfect character to sort of, be inspired by or springboard off and sort of, write my own take on that. And one thing I wanted to do in using this technology was to, the trick of using virtual production, or one of the challenges, is to blend the physical environment that you're shooting on with the digital environment. So there are, methods that the set designer, for instance, uses, which is repeating physical set pieces that are also repeated in the digital set pieces to make it blend and seem like one. But I wanted to sort of connect Circe and her girlfriend, who's not to give anything away, but you see in the opening, she's like about to be executed on the top of the castle. So Cersei's got to, you know, do something to prevent this. So I wanted to connect the two environments, which is what I designed the story to do.
I find it interesting that this is all happening in Canada, especially Canada has a long and rich history with both short film and experimental film. We could probably blame that mostly on the National Film Board of Canada, but entirely. There are plenty of filmmakers who made their start with short film. And something that I always found interesting about that is there are people who have made feature length films, but mostly do short films. Like there's François Ozon, if you're familiar with the French director. And he said sometimes you just have a 10-minute story to tell. And if you stretch it out to a feature-length film, you just ruin the story. And there's something kind of precious about just saying, I have a short story to tell. I'm going to tell my story and get out of there and respect your time. Yeah. There is something kind of nice about that. Do you think this kind of storytelling is very useful for the queer community to express, like, in
We just we've lost them there for a second. But yeah, we are very excited. So there are four different genres four different areas in the Imagination Festival happening this year, including a whole section on gender. Gender identities is one of those areas. Compelling tales. Oh, it looks like we have them back, so we're going to jump back in. Sorry about that. We seem to have lost you for a hot second, but now you're back again.
Aw. Yeah. We were all talking without you. As far as we were concerned, you're the one who were frozen.
As far as everyone listening is concerned, you dropped out. So that was unfortunate. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier, I was just saying to the audience how there are these four or five different themes. And one of them is a solidarity with Ukrainian filmmakers. You know, what I can imagine what inspired it, which is the, you know, illegal Russian invasion of the Ukraine. But, I mean, how did that come together? And how did you choose to create this platform, this space, to kind of share that creative content?
We've been collaborating with the Molodys Kyiv Film Festival and the Kyiv International Short Film Festival for quite some time. I've been there many times. We work together since at least 5 or 6 or 7 years. So when this invasion happened, it became normal to do this. So we to show support. And also one thing that is kind of I'm saying something obvious. In the Western world or in North America, we do not know other cinemas very well. Mostly because we don't have access to it. So this was a way of introducing these beautiful voices, these very different original voices, to people here, getting to know them and show support. And that's a short program that was part of a retrospective of Queer Ukrainian Festival Cinema, sorry, that was in our regular festival in 22, which is the first curated queer program that was ever put together, and it ranged from like 1960 to 19 to today. So we took the short program out of that, which also represents a history and a then and a now of Ukraine culture and Ukraine queer life. So that's also something that we work with Bohdan Zuk, who's the creator of Sunny Bunny, the first Ukrainian queer film festival that is premiering, oddly, at the same time as our festival this year. And we worked with the short festival last year. They did a curation of short film festivals last year.
Well, I mean, it's great to see that this is a relationship that predates the invasion. I think that that's a beautiful thing to be building on. I think it speaks to Canada and the Ukraine's long-standing friendship and interconnection of communities. You know, I had a chance to look at some of these short films in advance of the festival, a bit of a sneak peek, as it were. And one of the ones that jumped out at me was Boundless by David Chai under the A Question of Gender category of films that you did. And I think that one really spoke to me because it was a sort of an animation to a lot of people speaking to their own experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's I think ties to what you said, Alison, about stories that we want to see. You know, one of the things we've interviewed queer filmmakers in the past, and one of the refrains that we often hear is, you know, if we were to wait to see ourselves represented, we're going to be there a long time, you know what I mean, to see those things happen. You know, but I feel like queer film has evolved, you know, since the We're All Going to Die of AIDS days back in the 80s to where we are now. You know, what's your take seeing the collection that has been, you know, curated and pulled together for this festival? What is your take on where queer cinema is at now, queer short storytelling is at now, compared to where we were maybe 10, 15 years ago? Listen, either of you, I would be interested in what both of you bring to the table for that question.
Do you want to go first, Alison?
Oh.
Or I could take it.
Yeah, no, you go ahead, because, you know, just hearing you talk, Charlie, I'm excited to see the films that you've programmed. I've got a crazy deadline I'm working on right now, and as soon as I'm done with that, I'm gonna dive in and see what you've programmed.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Short films are wonderful. This is part of the conversation that you didn't hear because you were blocked out. A question was asked about the value of a short film. I think it's extraordinarily valuable because it is an accessible way for people to tell stories. It should not be a calling card for a feature. It is a piece of art. It is art. It is a form of art of creation in and of itself. And I'm a huge, a great short film gives you goosebumps. Like, it leaves you because it is done. It's A, B, C, and D, and it's perfect. It's this capsule of time. It's a thought. It's a story in a capsule that often, sadly, has not been. Rare are the fantastic features, whereas not rare are the fantastic shorts. For a lot of, we're very geared towards emerging filmmakers. We're really trying to encourage through our projects to get people to tell their story. If you tell people that we want to hear them and we want to hear their voice and we want to hear their experience, they will come, you know, they will, and they can do it. Because gone are the days where it costs $1 million to do something. You can, with talent and good mentorship and good guidance, you can make a fantastic film on a phone and edit it. And it can be beautiful if you are guided properly. No, we're not confusing things with a TikTok video here. As a form of filmmaking. So it's a beautiful thing. And a large part of this festival is to encourage people to watch it, because they're not valued. Short films are not valued very much by folks. It's like we're all feature films or we're YouTube, but in the middle there's this really, really good YouTube video, you know, that's called a film. So that's where our hearts on our programming team are great lovers of the short film, of the short form.
Well, I think it's an excellent weekend activity. I believe the festival runs, I want to say, the 20th or the 21st through to the 22nd or 23rd?
Nope, none of the above. It starts on the 20th. It runs from the 22nd to the 25th. Ah. So Thursday morning to midnight Sunday.
I see it now. It's on the post in front of me. I totally misread that.
And as I said, what we're doing this year to make everything simpler for everyone, we're launching the entire program. So everything will be there for you to watch however you want to watch it. All at once, once a day, half of program a day, whatever you want, it's all there.
Well, you know, gather up your favorite Judy's and grab a bottle of wine and make an evening out of it. I think that would be a wonderful way to consume queer cultural content in a broad range. The few that I looked at really were varied. And certainly, I think more than one of them would spark a conversation amongst a group of friends. So I strongly recommend it. Now, for folks...
May I add a small, a quick note? What we also have added to it, and you have to go to the digital catalog or to our website under Explore, or you could get there through the digital catalog. We have been collecting since 2020 when... all of this happened. We asked people, okay, we can't do anything. You can't come here. We can't go there. How about you take your camera, walk through your city, bring us to the places where you shot your film. Tell us about your film this way. I call it the anatomy of a film kind of thing. And many, many people have responded. So what we've been, and we keep asking people to do that since, what we've amassed is a very impressive collection of capsules or mini masterclasses of creators and their films that is in that session. And that's also something that people, this is all available all the time on our website, but we draw attention to this through this festival to invite people to go discover these folks. Okay, I'm done.
No worries. And just again, for details about the tickets, programming and more, go to www.fcqsff.image-nation.org. And that, I'm sure if you Google image plus nation, you will certainly find it. Google is very helpful at getting you to the right place.
Hey, well, yeah, that's an impossible, it's an impossible URL. But people can just go to our general website and go under watch, and the festival will be there. And it's image hyphen, can't do a plus in a URL. So it's image-nation.org.
Excellent. And I'm sure the website, if you have been inspired to do a little filmmaking yourself, I'm confident that there might be some contacts in the website there for people to reach out. And maybe we'll see the next generation of filmmakers coming out of this conversation as well.
Because we also have a story lab, which is for emerging filmmakers. I could go on forever. You're going to have to tell me this.
No worries. Well, thank you so much, John.
So that's for folks who want to make films.
Absolutely. Reach out to us. I really hope people do. We'd love to be able to talk about some content inspired by this year's productions in next year. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you again, Alison Reed. It was a great, great short film. I was very impressed by the use of the AR wall. And thank you, Charlie, for putting together another incredible collection, fourth year in a row, ongoing collaborations with Ukraine, and so much more. We hope to hear from you as other events come up and explore and promote more great Canadian queer filmmakers.
Thank you very, very much for having us. Us, the festival.
Thanks for having me too. Great to see you, Charlie.
Yes. Bye, Alison.
All right.
Thank you.
We are going to be jumping now to The Dirt by Glutenhead. I think this band is designed to cause a reaction by Sebastian, and we'll dive into that. And how a grumpy old man in Kelowna made a 9-year-old girl cry. All of that and more just after this. This is The Dirt by Glutenhead, and we'll be back just after this.